All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, often forgotten not by me, Tau Femboys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us today on our adventure into Tau space. I'm Garrett, and I'm joined by...
I'm Blake.
And this was... taking notes for this. I think I learned quite a bit, too. I didn't know everything about the Tau. Some of it's pretty interesting. And as I said to Blake before, I have some questions to ask the Ethereals, because they're a little sus, I think.
Yeah, they can be quick to just perform a genocide, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like you do, I mean...
It is 40K. It is the grim dark.
Happen, you know?
Yeah, you gotta keep up with the status quo.
Genocide.
Yeah, it just happens.
Yeah.
The Tau. I mean, everyone, you love or hate them. You either think they don't deserve a place in 40K, or you think that they fit perfectly and can keep up with any of the Imperium's finest.
Yeah, we were talking about this before, and really, I'm not sure Tau like. Lore-wise, deserve an army, but they do fill an archetype from an economic standpoint.
Yeah.
A Games Workshop economic standpoint. They fulfill an archetype that otherwise doesn't exist. And I think that's the main reason they have an army, because they're pretty small on a galactic scale. But they do have some intrigue. At least to me, they do.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like their... For sure. I have like a love-hate with them. I mean, I like the idea of the whole... mech suit, right? I think that would be a pretty cool component.
Yeah, I would definitely do it.
They got some speed, and they got some really cool weapons, and the commander models are just, like, surprisingly big, actually.
Yeah, they are.
Like,
the Tau Nar is humongous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that thing's huge. I'm just about the commander model.
Oh, like, the battle suit commander?
Yeah, it's bigger. It's much bigger than I anticipated.
Is it bigger than the regular battle suits are?
Yeah, by almost, like, twice. Like, yeah.
Really?
I know. Maybe because of his pose, but, like, it's...
No kidding.
Definitely, like, stands out.
That's pretty cool. All right, so... But,
yeah, I like them. I think you're right. I think they fit a spot.
Yeah.
And, again, like I said, I think you love or hate them, because, you know, like, rolling a lot of dice and deleting things and having not a lot of friends, or...
Or you don't.
Or you don't, I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess... I don't love the Tau. I don't hate them either. I don't have a Tau army, but I'm leaning more towards liking them than disliking them, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, they're the... If of the Xenos armies, like, I don't, like... They're nice to be there, but, like, I definitely would like to go somewhere else. I mean, like...
Yeah, not my first pick.
Yeah, I mean, and they clearly weren't. We went with Orcs and Necrons prior, and...
Yep.
I mean, we have some plans for the Eldari here, but, you know, I think... Yeah, that's really it. I mean, but yeah, it was a pleasure learning about some of the content here that they do have. I mean, they are young, they are intellectually sound.
Yeah, I think they do have some. I think they are noted as having like mental capacity greater than the average human does, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what, like 5,000 years of existence, they've like.
Yeah, they've gone from being like. Sticks and stones break my bones to here's a plasma cannon in your face and I'm like traversing the galaxy.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. That's what they're like notably known for. That's why they're on the Imperium's radar, is because they advanced like so quickly.
Mm.
I think their first run-in was with an Adeptus Mechanicus exploratory ship that in M35 that cataloged them as like a non-threat. And then I think the Age of Apostasy occurred or something like that. Or there was like warp storms around their planet that just stopped anyone from like getting to them. And then they show up, you know, M41, 5,000 years later, and their technology is like far superior to the Imperium. So I'm like, whoa, shit, this is a problem.
And we might be getting ahead of myself, but I think they met the Imperium again in like the second sphere of expansion.
Yeah, they did.
Because the first one, they basically just got out into space travel.
Yes. And then the second one, they got their shit collapsed by the Damocles Crusade. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. So if you don't know what a Tau looks like, they're basically like smaller humans, but they have like a lightish blue kind of skin, no nose. They have this weird, like, you would think it'd be like an olfactory slit in their forehead, but I guess it's not. I don't know what it's for. And they have hooped feet. They have like those like weird like reverse. See, I got interested in this for no reason. I saw that I knew they have hooped feet, and then I went, wait a sec.
Can they usually, run backwards?
Usually, when you have hooped feet, like horses, you know, like their leg kind of does like that weird bend, right? Usually, like it creates like a pushing action rather than like when we walk, it's like a pulling action. Mm-hmm. Those are like a pushing action. So usually, it's like quadrupeds have them. I'm like, okay, well, maybe they, I don't know. You'd think they'd be faster because they have these. And then I did some digging. I actually found out that like their knees like aren't backwards. Like their knee is like is still the first joint. This is for like actual, not for the tau, presumably for the tau too, because it's right. Based on our understanding. But like horses and dogs and cats and shit, like their knee isn't backwards. Like it's their first joint and then it goes back. And then that like long straight flat part is like the arch of their foot. So they're walking all the time on their toes. And the little thing, that back corner, is their heel. So they're like anatomy wise, like there's no backwards joints or anything. For all dogs and cats and all that shit, but their
so you're telling me that
their arch of their foot is like just super long, and they're just like it'd be like if you were just walking on just your toes.
Oh, I see.
It's kind of hard to explain.
No, I see what you mean though.
Like, yeah. So that was a revelation for myself with the whole hooved feet thing, because they have like the backwards jointed, what you think is backwards jointed legs, but it's just not. It's just an elongation of like the heel bone. The calcaneus or whatever it is.
How did you get to that?
Dude, right? I don't know. I don't know how I got to that. But I was like, oh, they have hoof feet. And I was like, wait a sec.
Oh.
They got hoof feet. They should move faster. Because it's like, I think it's like more efficient to like push than it is to pull.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is why I think those quadrupeds have so much weight in front of their back legs. It's like they can push it forward. That's my little headcanon for that anyway. Well, but I don't think they actually move faster because...
They don't.
So like we were saying, they use a bunch of battle suits. This is we're about to jump back into N35, but in the 41st one, they have a bunch of battle suits, and that's basically where they level the playing field, because other than their tech, they're pretty weak. They're small, weak little blue people.
Yeah.
With three fingers and a thumb.
Literally just read that they couldn't even beat up a human.
Yeah, they can't. They're
and like human are like fodder. In the, like they're just nothing.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Guardsmen beat the shit out of one of these guys.
Just man, that would just be a, that would be a battle for the ages.
Oh yeah.
Gladiatorial battle.
Yep. So you think for at least what I get off of them is like a real Japanese like samurai vibe with a bunch of like Gundam sort of mech suits.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, like, even, like, they're, like, in the game, they have, like, those, for morale.
The, bonding knife.
Yeah, if you roll, like, a six, it counts as a pass, which is, like, them just fucking shanking themselves or whatever.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They also don't have any psychers.
No.
And they have, as we were saying, small soul energy.
Yeah, real small soul energy.
So this is another thing I thought of too.
Okay. It's
along the same lines of hoof feet. I just was like, wait a sec. So you know how pariahs, like if you're in the presence of a pariah, like someone with no soul, it's like you instinctively hate this person. You're like, oh my God, this is just, I cannot stand this person. I hate them. Just from being in their presence. Well, I guess the only thing, the only sense I can make of is like, you only get that reaction once they hit like no soul whatsoever. You know what I mean? Because the Tau have like such tiny souls that you'd think... If it was like on some sort of gradient, you would be off put by their presence, but it's not.
See, I don't even know. How does one measure the size of a soul?
I don't know, but I guess they got small ones. They got, not small, but maybe less intense or, yeah. I don't know if it's a size thing.
It's always a size
thing. Yeah, size matters, man.
I mean, I don't know who's, I don't know who the guy from the Imperium is floating around ships and be like, hey, I'm just stopping by to measure your soul.
Well, what I'm saying is like, so the Tau are known for assimilating other races, like Xenos to them, like aliens to them, races into their society. And so there's humans in there. And I'm thinking, well, if they have really small souls, are they like off-putting like a pariah is? But apparently not. It's never mentioned. So I can only be left to assume that if you have... Let's say a human has, based on human, has a soul value of one, And if Raya has a soul value of 0, and a Tau could have a 0.00001 soul,
then you wouldn't hate them.
You wouldn't hate them. But as soon as they lose that 0.00001, they're a pariah and you hate them for being a pariah. Instinctively hate them.
There's days I just hate them just because they exist. So yeah. I mean, who knows? They probably teeter on that that side of it anyway.
There's a lot of hate for them, I think.
I don't know. They are like one of those armies, at least from playing it. I mean, we even saw them when we went to our tournament. They're like the top table. Like they're a really easy army to kind of cheese.
In regards they just have some models that can just abuse the game, kind of, I guess.
Yeah, just like not
seems
but
also take into account that we are not super competitive players, so no. Any competitive takes we have are hot ones.
I will say though, like from a like I think it would be fun. Like this is why I kind of almost went down that road, was I do think that they do present kind of a fun way to make like a crusade or narratively to play like a diplomatic understanding army from a Xeno's perspective. Like if you take Necrons or Orcs from a crusade perspective, like Orc smash, Necrons just take over.
Yeah.
At least like you could kind of have some like character of like, this is why they're here. And it's not just to fucking beat the shit out of the people or take over.
All right. So, back in the day, when there was no, you know, this newfangled internet or space travel or hyperdrives or whatever, the Tau were like super simple people. This is in M35, presumably when they were discovered. They're basically divided into like three tribes. And like I said, there was no real technology. I don't think they'd discovered the wheel yet. And there was, let's see, where did I put this here? Maybe I didn't write it down, but there was three tribes. There was like an air or like a mountain tribe, and then there was like a plains tribe, and then there was, it was described as like a valley, like sort of riverlands, maybe like low mountain tribe, something like that. And they were all like physiologically distinct and diverse from one another. So like the mountain ones could like literally fly. They had like wings, or maybe like, I don't know, wings might be a bit too much, but if that's the lore, I think the lore says they have wings, but I like to imagine they have like skin flaps, maybe like a like a squirrel, like like glide or something. And then I think the plains one were just normal vanilla stupid Tau. And then the riverland ones were, or the valley ones were, I believe, like mentally superior. So you can imagine like if one can evolve so fast as to grow wings. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the other one could, it'd be more advantageous for it to become smarter, or maybe it makes just some sort of change in the way it thinks about things or whatever. But that's what it does. And it says that they could, like, they built settlements and other things like that and had fortifications that the other ones didn't have. These are the Riverland or the valley ones. So eventually, it leads to some sort of strife in between the three. And it'd be an all-out sort of war. And the Plains Tau and the, like, Mountain Tau are fighting the, like, Valley Tau or whatever.
Right.
And so this is where it gets really weird. They're fighting, and, like, it's not going great for either side. And after, like, a long time of fighting, like, this other Tau, like from like a bright light in the sky, from the sky, these are like people that just figured out gunpowder, see someone come from the sky and like lands next to them. They all just know that this person like is not to be messed with. Like you don't shoot them. There's like some sort of quiet, like air of authority about this person. There's actually several of them. These are the ethereals. One of them walks into the fortification of like the Valley Tau, and the other one is like being some sort of diplomat with the Tau outside the walls. And then like within several hours, they all come together and they're like, oh yeah, well, this is the greater good and we're all friends now. Just like that. So imagine you live for thousands of, your society exists for thousands of years, and you know exactly who everyone is. Okay, we're the the Valley Tao, and we're, you know, we like to build things, and we like to maybe think about things a little more than everyone else does.
Fly with our flappy skin.
Yeah, and we're the Mountain Tao. We fly and glide and whatever. And these are the Plains Tao, and they're just nomadic, and they survive. And then all of a sudden, one day, here's a Tao from the fucking sky. Comes out of nowhere. And nobody's asking any questions. And
this is where you have your questions.
This is where my questions come from. Like, who is this person? Where were they this whole time? Why'd they come from the sky? It'd be interesting to see what technological path is taken from there, because it is remarked that technology comes or grows extremely quickly. So I'm wondering if the ethereals have some sort of technology.
But see, aren't the ethereals and the general Tao population the same?
They look the same.
That's what I mean.
So there's something going on there. There's so something that's completely unexplained that's going on with the ethereals, because the cast, anybody, any Tao, and this is another question I have, any Tao will listen to an ethereal and execute its command, no questions asked. Unless you're Farsight for some reason, you don't. But it's written as they
got to be clones or something.
It's something weird. And then I'm why? How can they just come from space? Where do they get that from? And maybe it's some sort of Tzeentch fucking plan.
Nah, dude.
Tzeentch trick. And I'm Tzeentch wouldn't even be interested, because these people don't have any influence on the warp. He's not gaining any power because
it's just some.
He's influencing them.
It's some super smart group of guys who realize that they can just
Alex Joneses of the world, of the Tao world. They've been watching from the sidelines the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it kind of sounds like. They just made clones of three different generations. Put them in different areas, watch them evolve, and basically they just evolved into chaos, and they're just all right.
Yeah, now they sort of staged it as this is you the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just wondering, because some of the Tao have to wonder, where the fuck these guys come from? What do they tell them?
There's only one person who ever wondered, and he's
probably dead. Yeah,
he's Farsight. Yeah, he just dragged everyone else who did that.
Maybe they made them so that they just wouldn't question it. Right. That's kind of how it's written. They walk in, and it's these guys, I've never seen them before, didn't even know they existed, and I just will respect everything they say.
That's what I mean. It was programmed into them.
That's a good theory. I like that theory. Mm-hmm. What did I say my other one, my other question was? Oh, here's my other question.
Okay.
So we know that Tao will basically listen to the ethereals no matter what they say. Does this pass on to other Xenos races that have been incorporated into the greater good?
Well, I was just reading something on that.
Because I'm wondering, because the ethereals are politicians.
Yep.
And so if you, let's say someone from the Earth cast, or some sort of storage depot blows up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ethereals, in an attempt to just sort of kick it under the rug or whatever, say that it was, they tell the Kroot to go kill these members of the Earth cast that the ethereals know committed this bombing, this terrorist act or whatever. But the Kroot know that the ethereals just want to push us under the rug and give the people what they want. Oh, we found who it was and don't worry about it anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are the Kroot going to listen to them? They're going to go do it without question. Because a Firecast warrior would go do it without question.
Right. And I was just reading on the humans, because I thought there was this whole idea that the Tao are the good guys. But then when they bring you into the greater good, they basically genocide a good portion of unqualified people.
You don't qualify for space communism. Be gone.
Exactly. So, there's this thing, as the time passes, the humans and their children turned from being reluctant converts to enthusiastic believers of the greater good. They now hope to spread the greater good and what the views are and extraordinary benefits of the Tao Empire to all their fellow humans being across the galaxy. So it's almost like one of those weird ass cults where
they've been brainwashed.
Yeah, but then it goes on to see their current status is, in general, the Givessa,
word for humans,
are content with their lot in the Tao Empire and treated well under Tao rule, but still often worship the God Emperor. So they've had some reluctancy going back.
Yeah,
and gotten converted.
Let them do that.
Yeah, the Tao just say it has to be within a moderate set of beliefs, quote unquote. And then these humans maintain colonies of Tao space and are provided with advanced technologies to survive on the frontier. Wow. And then they have some manufacturing capabilities. So they're just kind of used more as tools or, you know, fodder to defend a space that they don't have to, like, designate the ones who won't fucking ask questions to go into battle.
Yeah, this is sounding worse and worse. This sounds eerily similar to real communism.
Kind of.
You can have some beliefs, but only if they fall into our prescribed belief system.
Right.
Like, what we say is okay. So, and if not,
what are they
prepare to die?
What part of the God Emperor do they believe?
I don't know.
There can't be a whole lot the Tower approve of.
I know. I don't know. It's very, very interesting. And I don't think we'll ever get answers to any of this stuff.
No. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but that was a kind of a good little, like, you kind of got my brain turning here. Like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, because I don't know if the crew would do it. The crew would either say, no, go pound sand, or, okay, I'll go kill him because you're the leader. They probably would, maybe just because they're not driven to anyway, but there'd probably be severe repercussions if they don't, just because it's an ethereal time to do that.
Well, that's what I mean. I think the greater good is this, like, it's this, like, perfect, like, ironic phrase, right? For the greater good.
For the greater good is goodbye to your individual rights.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Like, it's the idea of, like, you can definitely say no,
but
you'll die.
Yeah. There will be repercussions because it's not for the greater good. And I think the problem is that the ethereals have a monopoly on the greater good and what it actually is.
Exactly. And, like, that's, I think that's from the position of, like, our crew being told to do that. I think their argument would be like, we stripped everything from you, and then everything we gave you is only because of the hand that we presented it in.
Yeah.
So you have to follow it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the same thing with the humans. Basically, humans are survivors because, like, one of the first set of humans were in the part of the withdrawal for the and part of the diplomacy or the, what is it, the,
oh, the Damocles
crusade. When the first Imperial War against the Tau ground to a stalemate, the Imperial forces decided to retreat and redeploy their troops against much of the pressing threat in the eastern fringes. They did it so fast that they left a significant portion of Astra Militarum behind, which ultimately became some of the first
Tau
human settlers. Yeah. And, like, that's the thing. They're like, you don't have a choice to not, you have a choice to not listen to us, but we chose not to kill you, so therefore you can't not listen to us. It's like the perfect irony of, like, it's kind of interesting though.
Yeah,
definitely easy to get, like,
I think if I was in the Imperium and I would, and the Tau came along and said, hey, you want to join us, you can come do, you know, whatever Earthcast job you want, you know, fucking work retail at the local whatever Tau Walmart.
Well, if it's that or be lined great. Up on the wall behind that same retail store shot, then I'd probably, take the retail job.
Me too.
I mean,
although I can't account for religious zealotry that I might have being in the Imperium Man, so that may stop me from doing that. I don't know. But as of right now, from Garrett in 2023, that's what I would pick.
You take that job at that Blockbuster?
I would. I don't want to get blasted to pieces by a railgun.
They probably would, to demonstrate their resolve, just let a fucking XV-88 railgun just
that would be the communist thing to do. I mean, if we're drawn from modern material here, that's what would happen.
I can get sources too if anyone needs.
Yeah. All right, that's enough of ethereal and political tying to Tau
and communism. I mean, what?
Wait, what? Okay. Let's see. What else we got here? Basically, you have to be pledged to the Empire pledged to the Tau Empire, which is the greater good. So, as we said, it's space communism. It's, you know, one for all. Not really all for one. It's just kind of one for all.
Well, so there is like one, the Nikasa are actually a Psyker humanoid.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But, and they are one of the assimilated Xenos races.
Yeah.
Into the greater good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with the Kroot, by the way. I kept mentioning the Kroot, and they are also.
Yeah. Kroot are kind of like walking alligators, honestly.
Yeah. Like walking bird, alligator things. They're green. They eat like if they want to like learn or like if they eat something, they will mutate to like that thing. Mm-hmm. So if like they ate a turtle, they might like grow some like bony sort of armor or something like that. Or if they ate like some sort of dog creature that had like an incredible sense of smell, they may develop an incredible sense of smell and start walking on all fours. They basically just evolve to whatever they eat.
Oh, fast. That's how they become like the hounds.
Crude hounds and things like that.
Or like, yeah. Oh, interesting. How do you become like the crude T-Rex?
I don't know. Eat a T-Rex? Maybe. Eat another crude T-Rex?
So yeah, this other one, which is, I want to bring this up because they don't really have a psychic presence, but the Nakasa are a Xenus species of powerful psychers who are allied with the Tau Empire. The Nakasa are driven by an insatiable curiosity to explore and travel across the galaxy.
So like a genetic drive.
Yeah, it was this drive that led a flotilla of Nakasa Dowers to make contact with the Tau.
Huh.
So basically, I'm sure that they help probably with expansion and like, but I don't know what their necessary use to the Empire. It doesn't really touch on it too much, other than that they have a few Starfleets and probably,
obviously they probably sit at the whole like navigator or astropath thing.
They probably sit at like some sort of leadership politically. Probably not. Nothing.
Yeah,
like
I think major. Most of them do.
Yeah.
So we have a list here of assimilated Xenos races. There are the Kroot, the Nikasar, the Thraxians, the Demiurg. There are humans, Torellians, Galgs, Geatrix, Morellian, Ranghan, Krennian, Poktroon, and Nagi.
And honestly, if you're sitting there asking, you just made up those words, we might have.
Well, I may have. I may have. You don't know.
It's... I haven't heard of, I've heard of two of those.
Yeah, I've heard of...
One of those is humans.
Yeah, Kroot, humans. I've heard of the Demiurg and the Poktroon, but that's about it.
Yep, not me.
Are Vespids, are they a different one?
I don't know, I thought they were their standalone too, so...
I thought they were a Xenos race too, but... maybe Vespids too. We'll find out. So... The whole, like...
Yeah, they are.
So they are their own race. Their own, okay. So, yes, Vespids are, can confirm, their own Xenos race.
They're just, like, giant bugs.
Yeah, giant bugs that fly.
Yep. That's where I thought you were going when you were talking about the flying Tau. I'm like, oh, you mean Vespid? And in my head, I'm like, oh, no, he's got a hole. Like, we're not even there yet.
No. It's greater questions to ask here. Okay, so... These sort of like physiological differences from those original tribes sort of carries over into the new greater good caste system. Okay. So the fire caste are warriors, and I'm assuming these would probably be like the plains guys. They're like physically larger and stronger. Not that they're very large or strong, but they are larger and stronger than the other Tau are. They are carrying out all the ground warfare. There's the Earth caste. These are your everyday dudes. Everyday dudes and...
So fire warriors, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Which is their base, their battle line troops.
Yeah, those are the basic troops, yeah.
Okay.
The Earth caste is your working caste. Everyday Tau, just doing... Like there's Tau in there that are flipping the equivalent of Tau McDonald's burgers.
Yeah. Right, the machinists and the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Mechanics, yeah. Engineers, things like that. The water castes are... Like the civil servants, so anyone that would partake in like maybe local government or something like that.
Yeah, your DMV kind of specialist.
The worst. The absolute worst. Administrators, paper pushers. I would view them like the administratum, probably.
Yeah.
They
carry some weight to their name, but like nothing.
And
like,
ultimately,
outright like, pretty quickly, too.
Things would seize up pretty quickly if they weren't doing their job, I imagine.
Yeah.
So there's probably a lot of paperwork and things like that has to happen for an entire like multi. Star system empire.
Well, right, and because we kind of touched on like before too, like there's 25 of these or 25 fully kind of developed septs, and each sept is an entire system essentially.
Yeah,
of conquered and controlled space operating within the greater good on their own kind of principles, whether it's slightly different, or one of them might prefer close combat warfare, one of them might prefer diplomacy.
Yeah,
versus combat. So
yeah, each one has their own. Little
But things they like. There's many of them all kind of reporting up to.
Yeah, they're all still fighting for the greater good, for sure. So that's the Watercast. We have the Aircast. So the Aircast, probably you know, the ancestors of the Mountain Guys, the Mountain Cast or whatever, the Mountain Tau. These are the spacefaring cast, and they have gotten even smaller and even weaker due to just generations of them living in space, living and dying in space. So their bones are much lighter. I think they're probably hollow, I think I read.
I mean, also, like, you kind of, who's to say the Aetherios just didn't come down and be like, okay, you guys want to fight. So we're just going to give you a bunch of armor and weapons and you go to fight with us. And you guys like to fly. I'm going to give you a fucking Gundam.
Yeah, here you go.
Anyway, yeah, so. If that was me, I'd be like, yeah, give me a fucking Gundam. Yeah. That's sure.
See, that's what I'm really interested about is how long does it take from the, I think the Aetherios, I think what they're not telling us. Listen, you have to listen to me. I need to tell you something. What they're not telling us is that
Alex Jones?
Yeah, exactly. Interdimensional demons. Okay, no, what GW is not telling us is that the Aetherials had all this technology the whole time and they've been like feeding it to them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like they're feeding it to the Tau.
They were sitting there watching this fucking ridiculous shit show going on there when they're throwing mud at each other.
Like, we gotta stop this. This
experiment has failed. We're just gonna give it to them.
Yeah.
Fuck it. They're not figuring it out. They're throwing mud.
For like advancement.
That's what I think they've been sitting on it for a while. Or yeah. they were.
Although, you know, we say 5,000 years is fast, but when were we like throwing like sticks and stones at each other? I mean, 2,000 years ago, you know, Romans had like aqueducts and like running water and shit like that. 2,000 years before that.
They were also like 5'2", so.
Yeah, and the Romans were notably far ahead of their time. Man, you know, I'm not sure 5,000 years is really that, like, oh my God, how do they do that so fast? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think that's like kind of.
I think it is obviously faster than we would ever do it. Because I don't think we're ever even going to make rail guns equivalent to the Tau ones or anything like that. But
no.
I'm just not sure it's as alarmingly fast as they make it seem like it is.
Yeah, but I mean also in the sense of like the Imperium of Man, what was 10?
Yeah, I mean.
1,000.
Yeah, to them it's probably really alarming.
Right.
So,
and especially because like it was probably they were probably discovered early in 35M, right?
Is that what you said? And yeah, like, 35.
And they probably were written off as like we have time.
Yeah, like there's bigger fish to fry than this thing.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah, they're usually called like fish people, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But it's kind of funny too, because it'll really make your local Tau player pretty angry.
Oh man. Yeah, so I mean from that point of view, like I think it is fast, but also like the orcs took what, like triple that in 65 million to just de-evolve and to just
madness.
So what is time in this world?
I don't know, it's irrelevant, it doesn't mean anything. So yeah, that was the complete tangent on the Aircast.
Yeah, my bad. There you have the Aetherials though. I mean that kind of spearheaded into
that. They are the spiritual and political leaders. See, spiritual is interesting because they're described as spiritual as if the greater good is some sort of religion. You know what I mean?
No, but see, it's one of those things. Spiritual is it allows you to believe in what they say.
It's a means to an end.
Yeah, exactly. Because you need to have some sort of belief system in order to bring on certain races.
I'm just so used to like spirituality involving some sort of deity, but he doesn't have to.
Well, no, because I think like how can you convert people into your ideology if you don't allow them to bring their
that's true.
God into it?
That's true. Maybe the spiritual part is any and all religions that just want to obey the theory.
Right, so I think it's the whole idea of like this it's a ruling upper class and. The words that are spoken by that upper class are misleading, intentionally misleading, but appropriately what you want to hear, kind of thing. Like spiritually, like you can practice your religion to a point.
Yeah,
you can believe in a chaos god until you can't.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So again, the casts are fire, earth, water, air, and ethereal.
Mm-hmm.
The ethereals obviously being the leaders that are basically go unquestioned. There's also ranks in Tau society. These aren't just like ranks of like military ranks. These are just ranks in society. So you are ranked as just, I don't know what you do to like rank up in society. Level one, you're a thief. And then it's like one of those mobile game ads. Level one, you're a Saul. Yeah, and then put the end, you're an O.
Yeah, then you like spear a fish and you just level up like 100 years.
67. So the lowest rank. So the way they make names is kind of strange. I have to pull it up here as a reference. So each cast has like a sort of sir. I don't know if it'd be a surname. Okay, so the first thing that comes is your rank. So Sal is the lowest rank, and then the one above that is Law, and then the one above that is UI. So Yui, I guess. Yui. Then there's VRE, which is, I'm assuming, Vre, I don't know. And there's L, EL, and then O. Yeah, this is incredibly difficult to accurately convey over audio, but that's what it is.
You just have to take our word for it, okay?
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm pulling up because their data sheets give, like, their sergeants are, for example, have a different, like, title to them.
Yeah, they would be Shas.
Shas-O?
Shas-O is, like, the highest rank you could be. Or the O is the rank part. So the O is, like, you are the highest rank you can be. Yeah. So, like, Commander Farsight is Shas-O Viorla Shova Case Montier. That's...
You made those up.
I may have.
So, yeah, the Fire Warrior is a Shas-Wi.
Yes, and then is he the sergeant, or...
That's their, like, champion equivalent, sergeant.
Okay.
Equivalent.
So, Shas-La is the regular Fire Warrior, and the Shas-Wi is the sergeant equivalent of the Fire Warrior.
So, the Crisis... Oh, yeah. So, Crisis Suit is Crisis Shas-Wi. Is the regular guy.
Okay, so the sergeant equivalent
is Crisis Shas-Vri.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Same with the stealth battles, the stealth suits, too.
Oh, okay.
And somewhere above that, there's an L, E-L, and then above that is O. So, it'd be like Shas-O. So, like I said before, Shas is the rank. Shas is the cast. O is the rank. And then the last part is the sept, what they come from. And then after that is their actual name.
What's this Shas-O Ralali?
I have no idea.
Oh, it's on Wikipedia.
Oh. So, let's say like an earth cast is Fio. So it'd be Fio Sal Tau would be an earth cast of the lowest rank of the Tau Sept, followed by their name. Yeah, try to follow that one. So ridiculous. So anyway, that was the that's their like naming convention.
Yeah, just know that the higher your rank, the more vowels you get until you get to the top rank, which is just an O.
Oh, yeah. So you can see how messed up it is. Their caste system. The casts are still, like, physiologically distinct from each other?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, that's why if you're within the fire cast, you're mostly going to be a foot soldier because you're bigger and stronger.
Yeah, and you can't leave your cast. Like, you're born into the cast, and that is the cast you are. Like, you're not going to be a foot soldier and then end up in the air cast.
This can't make any more...
I know, like, they're just feeding it to us like, at this point.
It's just, like, every step we go, it's just, this is just...
Yeah. I'm hearing the
yeah okay.
I'm hearing the Soviet national anthem in my head. That's what I'm hearing. I can hear it playing. Not as glorious as it seems. All right, so
do you want to be a Navy? You want to be a Navy member? Too bad.
You're stuck this way. India's like that.
Yeah,
India right now is like that, I believe.
Isn't, like, India, like, just... There's too many people in India.
Oh, like, way too many. I need to get rid of them. I'm not saying that. But there's a lot of people there.
Yeah. No, my father-in-law has to go there, and he just says there's honestly nothing wrong with it when you're there. It's just other than it's just packed.
Oh, just tons of people.
Yeah, it's just...
It's interesting. And it's considerably smaller than, like, other countries are. Like, it's way smaller than the U.S. is. And they got, like, over a billion people.
Well, it's, like, same thing with, like, China. Isn't, like, 90% of China's population jammed into, like, three major
Probably.
Cities?
Probably something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Usually, like, an 80-20 rule that applies to, like, an insane amount of things. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was, like, 80% of China's population is in 20% of the cities or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. Cities, towns.
I mean, so, that would make sense.
Yeah. It applies to, like, everything. Like, it's, like, weird stuff that you just never would think. Like, 80% or, like, 20% of your floor receives 80% of the foot traffic. Like, on almost any floor.
It's just...
It's just this weird rule that applies to like a bunch of stuff. Yeah, it's called the Pareto principle, I believe. Hmm. All right. So, the Tao's warfare leans heavily on their technology. Obviously, as we said before, the fire cast does most of their ground, or not most, it does all of the ground fighting, and the air cast does. It's like their job to get them there. But then they also do the air combat, so...
Are they like the ones in the suits as well?
I don't know. That's interesting. I don't think so. I think the Firecast is still in the battle suits.
Yeah, I guess that would make more sense.
They can fly, but they are also on the ground. So I'm thinking that like if you're piloting a ship, like maybe like those little piranha things that fly, or like a hammerhead, you might be.
Yeah.
Not, I don't know. Yeah. I'm thinking more like straight up ships that are in space.
Yeah.
Or like ships that only fly. They don't really like they come Bombers out of a ship in space.
Yeah.
Something like that. Fighters, like a Manta. You'd probably be air cast.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Manta's like a giant, humongous ship. It actually has a model that's freaking huge that holds like other transports inside of it and a bunch of infantry.
And speaking of their ships, I don't know if we talked to this. They don't have a means of like warp travel.
Yeah, they don't, like, they barely comprehend the warp. They don't even, like, know what it is. They know what it is. But.
Well, actually, I think, because there's this story of, like, they killed a demon of, I think it was Slaanesh. They killed a demon of Slaanesh and thought they actually killed the god Slaanesh.
Wow.
Just kind of shows how, like,
there's a bunch of stuff like that, yeah. Like, there's, like, one that killed, like, a space marine. It was, like, a sergeant that thought it was, like the head of the space marines. We got him.
Yeah.
I was like, no, dude, here comes another Thunderhawk. Oh, no.
Here's 10 more fucking nightmares.
Yeah. So, I actually didn't read much on their ships, but I'm sure they're, you know, kind of sci-fi futuristic looking, kind of like Star Trek-ish.
Yeah, and I know they move plenty quick because they can do space travel, right? They kind of like
it is slower than others. So.
Yeah, we have to kind of go on the premise of like the Necron. They don't get around like the Necron, and like kind of an instantaneous like anywhere they want, but they don't use the warp.
That's what I thought, and I've been saying that, and now that I actually remember that, I read differently. So they do like these little like warp, what do they call them, like warp dives. Which was interesting. They're capable of doing like these really small warp jumps, but that was it. They couldn't, because they don't have navigators or astropaths, so they can't just like stay in the warp and just stay in there and just keep going because they don't know where the hell they're going at. So it sounds like they just like head in a direction and they go into the warp for a little while and they come out again.
It's like the idea of like the paper, like where you take a flat piece of paper and fold it and you go right through.
Well, they did that too on accident, but this is just like, we're going to head this direction. We're going to enter the warp. We're going to go for a little bit, and then we're going to come back out again and see where we are. And then we're going to go again because we're not there yet. And then we're going to come out again, and we're going to see where we are, see how far we've gone. And we're just going to keep doing that.
So they know that that's the means that they need to do to travel efficiently and effectively. Just know that the longer they're in there.
They just don't have a way to know where they're going when they're in the warp. They don't have navigators.
And there's no known way to navigate the warp other than through the webway.
Yeah, not without navigators. I'm trying to think, dude. Like, nobody else does it.
Yeah.
Without navigators.
Other than traveling through the webway.
Other than traveling through the
webway. Which you need to know how to use the fucking webway.
Even harder.
Which only three races know what to do. And one of them's dead. The other one's machines don't work. And the Eldar are secret.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think. Other races. Tyranids don't.
Do Votan?
Orcs just, they do, but they don't do, they're not going anywhere on purpose.
Orcs just go there to fight.
They just go there and they go somewhere, and that's all they do. They
hope the orc just kicks them out somewhere.
Well, it does, because Gork and Mork is steering for them.
Ah, of course.
That's how it works. Who else? I mean, all the Imperium use navigators. All of Chaos would use navigators too, or they just would use some sort of warp entity to just watch their
going. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just really the Xenos, and the only ones that do are the Eldar. They use Webway, and everyone else has their own means. Well, other than Orcs, like we said, they just go in and go wherever the warp takes them.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they're kind of in this weird place where they know the warp exists. They can't reliably travel through it because they don't have navigators. So they do it these little warp jumps, but they did develop, we'll find out in the fourth sphere of expansion, something crazy happens.
Right.
Doesn't turn out the best. So
yeah, they have basically two forms of fighting.
Yes.
And I know one of them is, it's kind of more of like a, one of them is that whole idea of like that quick cut in, quick cut out kind of thing. And the other one's more of that kind of draw your enemy in.
The crouching tiger, hidden dragon.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, one of them is like the, I'd say it's kind of like a spear tip. Like you're going in to like surgically strike something. And Tau love too. They're not going in there like recklessly. They're not just like, all right, we're over the planet. Send in the drop pods. Like they're just, they're like, okay, how are we going to do this?
Who would do that?
Yeah. they analyze every aspect of like the operation they're about to undergo. Weigh all the pros and cons, you know, make sure everyone's on the same page for the plan, and then they'll carry out the plan.
Well, because they're not like in the situation of like the Astra Militarum or the Imperium where like their forces
spend,
like their bodies are not disposable.
No,
they even if they are clones, they're still disposable. That's my thing. That's what I think they are.
Yeah.
I like the idea that like that whole strike purposely or that perfect strike, that killing strike or whatever, like the quick in and out.
Yeah.
It's just like a bunch of those, like their devil fish flying down with like strikes and breacher squads and just ripping in. And then the idea that the other one is just all the big mechs just kind of like
waiting.
Yep.
Waiting,
setting up,
someone.
Establishing. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the perfect one, and they actually have rules in game for this. You have to pick which one you're going to be in. So, the perfect strike or the killing blow is called Mont Ka, and the patient, you know, ambushing hunter is called Kayan.
Yep.
So there's your Xenos language lesson for the day.
Yep. The Kayan is stupid in game.
Is it? I don't know what it
by is. By turn five, so at turn three, sixes explode.
In shooting?
Yep. Turn five, fives and sixes explode.
Wow.
Turn four. Then turn five, it's four, fives, and sixes.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so like, I was watching a video, and he there's a strat for Fire Warriors to do Rapid Fire 2. And this was turn five. So it was a full squad of Fire Warriors, like 20 or 40 shots.
Yeah, 40
exploding
shots.
Exploding fours. It's just like...
And they're hitting on fours too, right?
Yeah, unless they have...
I think they hit on fours natively.
Yeah, unless they have the marker light on the target they're shooting. So
every hit explodes, basically.
Yeah, it was like something like 50% extra shot. Well, obviously, that's the math.
It'd be
60 shots.
Hits.
Yeah,
all 40 hit, yeah.
Plus an extra freeze. Yeah, anything extra over 40. Yeah, so...
That's just fun. One of the problems I find is, because I didn't even know it was a rule, and I think it's because like the people that I play against don't always know all of their army's rules.
Yeah.
It's fine to not know everyone's like data sheet off the top of your head, but if you don't know like the what your army does, like maybe it's phase by phase or like what your sub faction rules are. Like when I play orcs, like all orcs get advanced and charge or not advanced charge, the reroll charges, and you know beast nuggets have this except involve. We have this mob rule for morale stuff like that, and then the sub faction for goths is exploding sixes in melee plus one strength on the charge. If you don't know that stuff, it's an immediate disadvantage.
100%.
That's all it is. It's just boons. That's all it is. It's all boons to your army that you get for free. And if you don't know it, then you've already lost, basically. I've played a lot of people that just don't know that stuff, and I do. And I'm like, oh my God. Like,
what do you do?
I'm like smashing this person.
Okay.
And I don't like, it's fun winning, but I don't want to like, I want everyone to have fun. And I'm like, do I like use my exploding sixes and goths, or do I just try to like, because they obviously don't know what their army does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. And like, you, like, that's the thing is like, you try to explain those things as well. And it's like, I don't know. What are you going to do, right? I mean, like, yeah, everyone can't know everyone. And that's kind of like we talked about earlier. That's kind of like probably the underlying problem with 40K right now.
It's so crazy.
Complex. It's just that, like,
all you can do,
like,
is
you just listed off orcs, which are arguably, well, they do have a lot of
data sheets
and a lot of overlapping rules. But like, you just listed off the orcs and your sub faction, and just listed off 3-4 rules.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no way you can know everyone's rules, but you just want to know at least your own, just so you can know what you can do and what you can't do.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. I mean, yeah, the Mont Ka and Kaiyun are so, like, substantial in regards to, like, how you're going to...
If you don't use them, you're going to lose.
Right.
And like, you're just going to lose.
And if you don't lose, if you don't, like, and you got to know, like, how your matchup works, too, right? And, like, and we're getting definitely off topic here, but, like, the idea that, like... Yeah, I don't know. Like,
it's a lot of time to have invested into playing the game and then just not know like a couple like really simple little rules.
Right. I learned that in the tournament, just like even like I felt like I knew my army really well, but then like, yeah, you get to like other people who knew your army better than you and they're fucking across the board. And you're just like,
well, I'm fucked. Like, whoops.
Yeah. And that's part of it. But yeah.
All right. So those are the two primary like fighting styles. Their technology, a lot of their fighting technology, like we said, is battle suits. Some of them are really cool. They have some stealth ones that are like just go invisible.
Yeah, and they own like a super one.
A super one?
The ghost heal.
Like, so one goes invisible too?
Yeah, so that one, they have it's part of the stealth.
Stealth line?
A line, yeah. So they have the stealth suits,
which are like... So here's the thing. No, I already answered my own question. I know it wasn't a private company because the government and... We all know the greater good owns the means of production.
Of course.
I didn't know if there was like a Tau, like if there were Earth cast guys that were like work for a private Tau company that made the ghost keel.
Yeah. Maybe said, no, maybe at one time until the greater good found it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, the ghost keel is only invisible too because it comes with like drones.
Oh, okay.
It's got like stealth drones that are like
concealing fading. It.
Yeah, concealing it. Yeah,
that's cool. That is probably one of my. That might be my favorite mech model, the ghost keel.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect balance between like a really kind of a unique dynamic pose, and its size isn't so daunting that it's like giant, but it's also
pretty big. It's like the size of this butt light can.
Yeah, but it's like not like a fucking knight at the same time. Like it's not like, and then at the same time you just can't shoot at it.
Yeah,
unless you're more than or less than 18 inches away.
Really.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
That's its rule. So you can just put a fucking.
Yeah, the stealth suits too.
Stealth suits,
I think minus one to hit.
I think they're minus one to hit.
Gotcha.
But I it might be something along the lines of like minus one to hit, if you're outside of a certain range.
Gotcha. I've
got this really cool website up. Hold on.
All right. Oh, another thing I want to talk about. While I was doing research for this, is just a cool little thing I ran across. Someone had written a homebrew lore for their Tau, like Space Marine Legion.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the lost Primarchs was like on a Tau world. And so I can't remember exactly what happened, but basically he was found and like reunited with his Legion and then said, wow, the Imperium sucks. And then like went back to the Tau. So they had like artwork of like Tau or of Space Marines like in like Tau like fashioned armor. They looked fucking sick.
Really?
Yeah, they looked really cool. It's like kind of like a samurai looking Space Marine.
That's how that's how I want fucking White Scars to look.
Yes, that is how the White Scars should look. Although it would look just like Tau, but yeah.
Well, I mean, like they could still do that like frailed samurai armor as shoulder pauldrons instead of
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on that would look really cool.
Yeah, this I read like the first part of it. And I was like, this is pretty cool. I need to read more of this, but I gotta do other stuff first. So.
There's like a lot of really cool immersions. Like I've seen a lot of armies where they do the full like human.
Yeah.
The human Tau, which is kind of cool, and
you could realistically do like.
You could do realistically anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do all kinds of stuff. Do Tau that. Or do humans that are... Because you take... like Imperial Guardsmen in a Tau army?
No, but they just basically take Guard's kit and give them pulse rifles or and gotcha. I mean, the same base size,
yeah,
same model size.
Yeah, so just do that.
Yeah, and he would run like 9 with a Tau Fire Warrior champion.
That's cool.
Just to like keep him in line.
Yeah.
Huh. It's kind of, yeah.
That's nice. I like that. I like those, dude, conversions are the best.
Conversions are the best, yeah.
The best models come from conversions. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, a lot of their armory, like we said, includes battle suits and drones.
Big drones. Drones are, the drones are everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. They're like little pancakes floating in the sky.
Best way to describe
it. With, like, technology hanging off
them. You can put rockets under there, marker lights, guns, just laser beams.
And yeah. Like little AI robots. Little shields. Yeah. Shields. They give you, they can just dot, like, take bullets for you. Yeah. That's always nice. That's what the women and children are for, taking bullets for you. I don't know why they just don't do that instead. Oh, man.
Because they need to repopulate the greater good.
What am I talking about? Losing my mind here. All right. A lot of pulse weapons. Yep. And what that means is it's like a plasma weapon, but it's described as like utilizing plasma pulses. Don't know what that means.
Pulse plasma. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, it's plasma stuff. They have something called ion cannons.
Yep.
Don't know what that means either. Rail guns. Yeah. Use your imagination. Missile pods. We can kind of figure that one out. Fusion blasters.
So Meltagun.
Meltagun, basically. Plasma rifles and flamers. Fusion blaster. Whenever I hear the word blaster, I just immediately think of Star Wars. That's just blaster. Where I go. Yeah.
Blaster.
Yeah, the rail guns are kind of like the, like, I would say they're probably the most famous thing. Just like, if you played in the Dawn of War, like the mechs that just like stamp on the ground, they got these huge things. You used to have one of those.
I did, actually.
Where, like, it had the things where
it had railguns on the shoulders, yeah.
And his fucking metal feet. Just never.
I can't believe even you remember that. That thing was broken all the time.
All the time.
I think I literally found it when I got back into 40K. I just threw it away. I was like, this thing is just junk to me. Yeah, like, I can't do anything.
It's
just glue, like a ball of glue around its ankles. And it still breaks. Like, it's literally like frozen in rock, like a melted, like lava solidified around his ankles, and it still breaks off.
The thing was just like, I mean, there was a time where it broke for like the fifth time or something. Just glue and just, nah, dude.
Didn't work. Like, who made, like, the connection points to this little tiny thing, like 2 feet, and it's a metal model with huge metal guns on the back. This is never going to survive.
The thing was a fucking weapon. I mean, you could use it in a fucking robbery if you wanted.
You could give someone TBI with that thing, hit them in the head with it.
And they're just like, yeah, just throw it right on these little fucking nubs of legs. It'll stay for a whole day and a half.
Yeah.
The minute you bring it.
It'll stay for as long as your hands are holding it up. So dumb. But luckily they've gotten better. I didn't realize how old that stuff was. I thought it was...
Yeah.
I don't even remember like the first time I bought a model.
Now they just they just carry it around.
Those are the XB-88 broadsides.
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't realize that was even a thing. I didn't realize my model was that old.
Yeah, you have the old XB-88.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's like a really quick.
I mean, there's really nothing
tech and armor.
Nothing really to go into it. I mean, they don't have warp drive. Their tech is basically really straightforward. It's just it's war suits. Like, they just have personal war suits that can fly and rip around the battlefield, and they can be equipped with basically any weapon from a flamer to fucking missile racks.
Mm.
And
they're super modular, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's really all you need to know. I mean, their base weapon is the pulse rifles, and
don't forget the plasma pulses here.
Yeah, big plasma pulse guy.
Yeah.
And they have different variants.
Founded on plasma pulses, okay?
They have different variants of that. Like, you can have like a long range, a mid range, or a shotgun version of it. So, I mean, that's their tech. It's pretty straightforward. And honestly, the reason they were able to expand and be a threat in the fashion they are is because those weapons are 2 or 3 folds better than the standard of like any other race. Like, a rail gun can just rip through a tank.
Yeah, this is really what brings them like into relevance. Otherwise, they're just nobodies.
Right.
All right. So their history as the Tau Empire is hallmarked by five different spheres of expansion.
Mm-hmm.
These are really quick summaries. I'm sure each one probably has like its own novel. I wouldn't be surprised. But the first sphere is like the very first journey off of their homeworld. It's their first interplanetary colonization. And it was pretty successful, but it did come at a cost. You know, it was the first time. They didn't know exactly what they were doing. And there were pretty substantial losses. And this is also their first, like, full-scale, like, their first taste of full-scale, like, space war or, like, war with another species. And they fight the orcs.
Perfect.
And, well, you know, they also, like, in the first sphere they took in, they, like, assimilated several other Xenos races. So I'm wondering, like, if they, like, get to a world and, like, meet the first Xenos race. And they're like, wow, that went, like, really well. Like, they just joined immediately. Like, you show them some tech and this is great. And they get to the next one. They're like, oh, hey, guys, like, it's just saying the greater good. Like, they sell them on it real quick. They join. They find the orcs. And they're like, they make planet for them. Excuse me, sir. Can you take out the greater good? What? Cuts them in half. Like, oh, no. These guys cannot be reasoned with.
I'd like to tell you about our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Orcs
gutted.
Don't know what diplomacy is. All they know is that it shouldn't exist. It doesn't matter.
And they just erupt with just like throwing rocks into the sky with like, and just become that's their warfare. They're like, what's going on over there? Oh, we're just fighting rocks full of these orcs. What?
Yeah. What? Yeah. So,
but I do know the first expansion also laid the foundation for their entire like civilization from an economic and sociological point of view. Like it laid the groundwork for how they were going to be able to take steps into their next expansions.
Yeah, you know? I think these are probably like the worlds that are like the foundation, like the core of the empire now.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. The second sphere of expansion. This one doesn't go too great. They venture across the Damocles Gulf, which I don't know exactly what it is, but it sounds like it is a large, empty place of open space where there's not much going on. And they do this using a new sort of drive they created. And they get to the other side and they do establish some worlds over there, only to be like completely smashed by the Damocles Crusade, which is a crusade of Space Marines and probably Imperial Guard, that not only like pushed them all the way back across the Damocles Crusade, but much further back into the rest of the Tau territory. It was eventually stopped by the Dalith Sept.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about the Dalith, but that's what stopped the Damocles Crusade. You want to do the third sphere?
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at the Dalith is they have a large number of aliens that can be seen alongside the famously efficient water cast. So most likely they were able to kind of just dump a lot of.
They rely on their aliens, subject aliens, or exactly. Servants.
I also know that the second sphere established the Firecast's commander Farsight during the.
Oh, so that's where he comes from.
Yeah, this is when he kind of came into the picture, and Commander Farsight is a named character.
Yes,
essentially he is disconnected from the Ethereals, but still fights for the greater good.
Yeah, this is weird because we've been talking about they almost instinctively listen to the Ethereals, but somehow Commander Farsight has sort of thrown off the shackles of the Ethereals.
He's an anomaly in their coding, in their genetic coding.
They do not like him.
No.
He doesn't care. He's off on his own thing. I believe his faction is sort of called like the Farsight Enclaves.
Mm-hmm.
Still fights for the greater good, but the Ethereals, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ethereals try to kill him. In some lore justification for having Tau v Tau battles.
No, I mean, well, I think we should be getting some updated lore for him in the coming books.
Yeah, he's making an appearance. So yeah, he just got a new model, which looks pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Did you see that little emblem on his symbol? This is a tangent too.
Mm.
This little, I say emblem on his symbol. What the hell? Emblem on his elbow. It's like a symbol right here, like on his elbow and his armor.
Yeah.
And the only other place that appears is like in reference to the Dark Angels. And what? Lionel Johnson actually has the symbol like on his armor, like where his belt buckle would be if he wore a belt.
Hold on. I am
pulling. There's a name for it. I can't remember what it is, but it's like the only other place it appears. So I'll ramble on about the third sphere. So the third sphere is sort of a wake-up call for the Tao. They say, wow, okay, we did not know who humans were before this, and then all of a sudden we're getting punched in the face by space marines, so that wasn't cool. So the Ethereals sort of use this to rally the Tao to reclaim like their lost territory. They say, hey, there's big bads out there, and if we don't get off our asses, we're going to get them handed to us. So the third sphere was largely successful. They took back basically everything they had on their side of the Damocles Gulf. And then it was sort of halted by the appearance of the Great Rift. So this is the Fall of Cadia. And halted by that and Imperium counterattacks. The Imperium sort of holding them on their side of the Rift, it sounds like. Have you made any progress on
the Farsight?
Yeah, Farsight Enclave.
Yeah.
Or not the Enclave, but his little symbol on his
side. I'm looking. What symbol is it?
I don't know what it's called, but there's a ton of videos on.
It's like, on his left. Is on the shield or?
It's on like his elbow joint. It's like right here, or like maybe it's like on his, okay. Like his wrist. It's like a little green thing on his new model.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, and it's a symbol that like only is associated with the Dark Angels. It's like he's made some sort of pact with them or something like that, which is extremely strange. I do not think that would be a Dark Angels thing to do, but you never know.
You know, if there's anybody who's gonna make a secret pact, it's gonna be
they do secret stuff. Yes,
if
huh?
if it's secretive, they're into it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I see it. I can't really.
Are you looking at Lionel Johnson's old model?
No, should I? I mean,
it's on there too, like barely visible at his belt buckle location. Hmm. But anyhow.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. I know we're now going down there, but I mean.
Oh, yeah.
He was a curveball, but I like that they're bringing the Tau into the fold of the Arcs of Omen, because the whole theory behind the Arcs of Omen is that this is a universal
problem. Yeah,
right.
For everybody.
So.
Yep. I would be interested to find out how the Tau heard of it. Like, we don't even know yet if they're taking steps, like, against the Arcs, like, to prevent them from reaching their goal. But if they are, I'd be interested to know in how they learned of it.
Well, I would like to put in my two cents and suggest that for the greater good.
Ah. Okay, so we're about to learn something.
Yeah.
In the fourth sphere here.
All right, hold on. I'll read this one here.
Okay.
Launched right after the Great Rift is formed. I see where we're trending here.
Okay.
The Tau fleet is flung across the galaxy during the first use of its new antimatter engines. After several years, the fleet manages to communicate with the Tau through the wormhole allegedly created by an antimatter engines. Also possible origin for the greater good god. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Interesting.
So, it was described when they go, so basically they make this new technology, this new like drive or whatever, right. This antimatter engine. And I think one of the Ethereals like orders them to like fire, like just translate the whole fleet at once, and the dude's like, oh, we can't do that, it's not gonna work properly. And he's like, oh yeah, it'll be fine. And that's just classic. That is classic government, like, just not knowing what the fuck they're doing. I mean, that happens in the US. That happens all the time. So anyhow.
Yeah.
it opens a fucking wormhole, which I don't think has been like in 40K until that point.
Right.
Like that never happened. And they're just flung out. Not the whole fleet, but many of them are killed. What did they say? It said like basically like Xeno, like fucking like demon Xenos or whatever were like tormenting them. So they're basically like flying through the warp.
Right.
It sounds like. And they're getting like ripped apart by demons on their ship whole time.
As you do when you go through.
And they said that they were saved by like some sort of many-armed god and like put back into real space. But now, so then the fifth fleet like can enter the hole and they can communicate through this wormhole. in the fifth fleet, the fifth sphere of expansion, the whole fleet goes into it and like comes out on the other side. And so now they're thinking like, okay, well, who is this giant like being in the warp that has sort of like protected them and then escorted them out the other side? And why did he put them? Why did it put them there? Is there any reason to it? Is it Zeech? Is it an actual greater good? I don't think it is an actual greater good, or like manifestation of the greater good, because it's.
I think it's a naive race falling victim to a greater power within the.
I would think I'm gonna go with, I think it's Zeech just doing weird Zeech things.
Yeah, just praying. That's, like, I mean,
that's what I think.
It's an armada of super tech.
Yeah.
Xenos race that would believe anything.
I just don't think that the Tau, having the small soul energy that they do, because we all know size matters, they do not have enough people to believe like a god into existence. You know what I mean?
But
like,
that doesn't mean he can't be a tool to.
That's true. He could be just not a god, just a little entity. I guess if, and yeah, maybe you're selling me on it. If they believe for, maybe you think like, more like the more fervently you believe in something, like the more powerful it is in the warp.
I think that's how the whole thing works.
So not just believing in the greater good, but if you really believe it, if you worship the greater good every day, if you get up and get on your hands and knees and pray to the greater good.
No, see, like
there's that, a greater chance that.
No, see, I think
that has a greater influence. On
the warp. I think that, like, if there's anyone who's going to save somebody. For just essentially the means to an end, it's going to be Zeech. And that's why like, I'm saying like he most likely is going to use them because he can see some sort of way that he can use them.
Manipulate
them to not believe. He means to an end. He knows he can't buy their, like it, they believe in him. It doesn't matter because of their, you know, small soul
energy. He's not gaining any power from it.
But that doesn't mean he can't use them to like.
Do other things.
Cause chaos for one of the other gods, or you know, have them go to worlds and be like, yeah, we met the greater good god in the warp, and all of a sudden,
yeah, what if they spread it to like humans,
right,
or something,
and now all of a sudden that
or the Nyxasar there, the Nyxasar psychers,
right, the big soul energies are like, oh, all right,
I
okay, yeah, no, I see so, you greater good
so,
god,
so we don't know if it's. So right now, our two theories are Zeech or an actual greater good god. Maybe not an actual god, but like just big enough. Because maybe, obviously, these people are all sold on the greater good. They're hook, line, and sinker on this thing.
Easy.
Yeah. Maybe that's enough to some sort of, you know, create some sort of entity in the warp that could help them in at least that small way. Although, I don't know how small it is. Because if
Korn's about to have a field day with the greater good god.
Oh my god, he's not a chance. He's better hide. Right. But I'm wondering, like, if this god can do this for them, like, why can't, like, Korn just go to an Imperium ship and just fucking swat it out of the warp, just blow it up with his hand?
That's what I mean. I mean, he kind of just did, but.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, yeah. I'm trying to make sense. Well, you're 100%
right. Like, what's just, why does it take, basically, Angron splitting a fucking,
you know,
ancient relic in half, yeah, for Korn to like actually have some sort of interaction on the material world.
You know why? I answer my own question. Because I don't think the Tau have Geller fields. So they don't like, when they go into, if they go into the warp, they're they're just in the warp.
Yeah.
Like they're getting raided by demons the whole time.
Yeah.
Like humanity in the Imperium has Geller fields. So like things in the warp can't influence them, right, when they're in the Geller field zone. So that's why, that's answering my own question. That's why this thing could like reach them and like push them out to the side or like facilitate their travel.
Yeah. But only the Tau would be so fortunate to get a greater good god of just like casually walking by.
Because
like,
they're just flying through the warp unprotected.
It's like, hey.
They're raw dogging it in the
warp.
Yeah,
you're coming out with some diseases out of that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, and they're getting to the, like, only they would come up to the guy who's like, hey, you must be lost. Let me just help you walk you through. Yeah. And you know what? I liked you guys. I'm going to make a tunnel for you.
Yeah, you're a nice little upstart race.
Yeah, have fun. You know, don't talk to the horned guy.
Yep.
Don't talk to the fatso.
Yeah.
Stay away from the weirdo masturbating in the corner.
Yeah, with seven tits. All right. So that was the fourth sphere of expansion. Basically a total disaster
And yeah, not good. Not
the
good.
Fifth starts right after that one and is still, that's the one that's going on right now, is the fifth Sphere expansion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what has happened. I think there's a bit of a story to it, but basically they fly into this thing, this wormhole that they have named the Starstride Nexus. And they're actually like, they've made it to the other side and they have established new colonies over there and they're fighting and expanding.
Yeah.
And I believe it's Shadow Sun is leading that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Shadow Sun is...
She's like the favored daughter of the Tau.
Okay,
like,
yeah. She's a female commander. Probably mm-hmm. Shasso.
Yep.
Shasso whatever. Oh, yeah. We said her name before. It was like Shasso Viola something. Whatever her name was. So.
Commander Shadow Sun is... Just Commander Shadow Sun.
Okay. Well, the article I was reading had her name. I'm going to find it right now. It is. Are you ready for it? Shasso Viola Shova... Case Montier. That's Commander
Farkas. Just all the vowels.
Yeah, it's all the vowels. And we're going to try to hit all as many consonants as we can too. That's sounding too ridiculous.
Oh, man.
That's where the tower at right now.
Yeah, and I think, I think we're what, two arcs of omens, so probably a month away from kind of learning a little bit more about the Farsight Enclave.
Yeah.
And about kind of where they might be in regards to current lore. So, yeah. Where that fifth kind of expansion is at. So, yeah, we don't have the codex because we can't afford to buy every $75 codex that is in existence.
Yeah, just to read you a few.
But we definitely each have our favorites. So,
yeah,
I honestly, like, one of my favorites is, and I just think it's because it's really cool for me or conceptually to believe, is the Fire Warrior Breacher Squad, like with the shotguns.
Yeah,
in a Devilfish.
Yeah,
I just like the idea of them like ripping up
on, like, fast.
Yeah, spin, really fast, having the thing spin around, and then them just sprinting out with
jump
these shotguns.
Out the back.
With
they all jump out the back. Like, there's like a little
right.
power slide in. The door comes down.
Yeah, and they just start out. Ripping and just like storming.
Plasma pulse shotguns. Eat it. Yeah. And then they kick your doors in. I'm gonna get punched in the face by a guardsman.
But yeah, right. the mother of two just beating the shit out of them. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I like that. That's cool too. I actually listening about that on the way here. I was, it's kind of cool to have some.
The humble fire warriors is you know what, not bad.
They don't stand a chance, but they're cool.
No, yeah, not bad, right?
So yeah, I think my favorite one aesthetically is the Ghost Gear. We just talked about that. It's like a large stealth suit. It's a really large mech, but mm-hmm. it goes like invisible.
Yep.
With the aid of drones, and then there's smaller versions that are stealth suits. That I think they just go invisible on their own.
Yeah,
they also fly too.
Yep, they're I think minus one. Yeah, they're the inherent minus one to hit. You were right. So and they always being the benefit of light cover.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they're you know, the egg people. They look like the egg suits.
Yeah, they're kind of weird looking, but they do look kind
of
cool too.
I think they look really cool. They're actually one of my favorite aesthetically as well.
Wow, this is making me want to start a Tau battle suit army.
The crisis battle suits are so. I mean,
I would do a whole army of those.
I think that's. If I could do it, I would do what I was originally going to do, which was just like 30 fire warriors, one of them being a breacher squad with a devilfish, and then just the ghost keel stealth suits, and then just nothing but fucking battle suits.
It'd be cool.
Commanders.
If I was gonna do it, I'd do a custom sept, and it would be all the battle suits would be in the BT-7274 color scheme from Titanfall 2.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So sick. That would be sweet. So
yeah. Oh, but I mean, like, man, the crisis battle suits are like crazy expensive. Oh,
are they really?
Well, not only like money per. I think it's like $85
for three of them.
Bucks for three of them, yeah.
Yeah,
it's expensive, but like they're $50 a model too, or 50 points a model in the game.
Hmm.
So what is that? I mean, 1,000 would be
20 of them.
Yeah, 20 of them. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. What's that one? So there's a weird one. It's not the Taunar. Is it the Taunar? That looks like it should have arms, but it just doesn't. It just has giant like rocket pods, and either like on its right here, like.
Yeah,
it looks like it's just missing arms.
I hate the knight equivalents of the Tau.
Is that one of them?
I think so. I don't know.
I think one of them is the Riptide.
The Riptide's the one, only one. It's just like, it's just like almost like, it looks like it wants to walk around with like a knight, but then at the same time, it's got these big fucking jets on it so it can fly. I don't know.
Yep.
Let me just take, I'm taking a look to see what that, oh yeah, the KV-128 Storm Surge.
The Storm Surge, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's just got, it's a tech suit, or it's a battle suit, and then its arms are just like a, like...
Stubs.
Just stubs.
They're like like cardboard boxes.
It's just two, like, rotate, like, shoulders with just rockets.
A bunch of rockets.
Yeah, and then it's got this big dick fucking...
Huge gun.
Huge gun.
Yeah, and the even bigger one's the Towner. I don't know how big it is, but I'm assuming it's like a Warlord Titan size. Or maybe it like is.
Did you see on YouTube that 5,000 point battle?
Oh yeah, I did.
He's a Towner, yeah.
Yeah.
He literally had to use the base.
Oh, he'd use a
Devilfish.
Yeah. As his Tephion as a base.
Like, it's giant.
It's huge. It's big.
It's 1,000 points.
Oh, it's only 1,000 points?
Only.
Well, I'm thinking it's like a Titan.
Well, it still like hits on like fours, I think.
Yeah. Well, a Warhound Titan, the smallest Titan you can get,
yeah,
is 2,000 points. Well,
so the Townard's got to be Lord of War. Yeah, 1,000 points.
Really? No kidding.
It's on threes.
I figured it would be
30 wounds, toughness 8, 3 up save.
Okay, so it's just really big. It's just not. It's not really. That's dude. That's my Gorgonaut. It's mine's 32 wounds, toughness. No, it's 20. Sorry, 24 wounds.
Yeah,
toughness 8. Yeah. Still, but it's only 300 points. 330 points.
Yeah, I mean they make up for the weapons. I mean it's
packed with guns.
Three pulse ordnance drivers. Oh, just some casual.
The old pulse ordnance driver. You know,
concentrated is heavy 2, 90 inch range, easy. strength 10 minus 4, 5 damage.
What's the point of having 90 inch range, dude? The game. No board is 90 inches.
Just don't put a range. It doesn't matter. It has
infinite.
It covers
just put
it.
A fucking infinite sign on it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, that is it for the Tau. That's all we got for the Tau. You know, didn't like the Tau before. I'm kind of liking them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually. I think we picked this one because we wanted to see. You know, we didn't want to pick one that was going to be like. We picked, or at least I put it out there because I felt like they would be someone that didn't have like a huge extensive. Amount of lore like for example the Necron, like they're so old, they have so much, but pleasantly surprised with how fleshed out these guys are.
Yeah, me too.
So
I am, and I want some answers from the Imperials.
You're not gonna get them.
I'm not.
It's for the greater good. It's for the greater good. You're not gonna get
better that I don't know. Okay, you can't handle the truth. So.
Yeah, it's okay. Just don't worry about it. But
yeah,
no, this was fun. I was very happy with this one. I'm and this gets me a little more excited for like Votann, because I felt the same way about Votann, and I'm now more excited to learn about the Votann than I was.
Their lore is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not sure about the army, but their lore is pretty cool.
I'm probably gonna go on a tangent there. We should probably budget for one of my fucking for some sort of childish display of
salty
frustration.
Tangent.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything for the morale phase?
Nope. Never do.
Are you insanely brave this morale phase?
No.
No, you're not spending 2 CP on
insane
bravery.
No, I'm rolling a 1. I'm running away.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's that part. Okay, yeah. let's see. Have you seen these? So you know how I've been doing some stuff like training the AI to sound like other people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People have been doing it with, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden.
Yeah, I haven't seen
them. Oh my god, like, they're so funny. Playing video games together.
Yeah, I watched them like play Pokemon together and like just like bitch about each other's teams.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
It is hilarious. I had one. It was Joe Rogan, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden all playing Minecraft together, I think. And Donald Trump talking about how it just matched with the most she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Just matched with her on Tinder. She's coming over. And then it turns out to be, it's a dude, basically, that looks like a chick that's like kind of an influencer. I can't remember what the hell his name is, but it was fun. So yeah, I would literally go out of my way to look those up because they're that funny.
Yeah,
it makes you, even though you know these people actually hate each other,
yeah,
it makes you feel better about politics,
right?
For some reason, for some completely stupid reason.
Yeah, the political system's on fire, but that makes it a little bit better. So
yeah, it makes you feel just a little bit better about the current situation. So,
but
all right. That being said.
Yeah, I think we're going to call it there. This has been, a fun one, and looking forward to the next one. We're thinking the Votan, or probably by now it'll be the Vashtar book will be out, so we'll probably try to get that in, hopefully.
Yeah. Yep. Vashtar, and then we'll do Votan, and who knows?
Who knows?
There's literally a never-ending. There's like 450-something novels worth of Florida covers. So.
Yeah, all right. We got time
job
to go.
Job security.
Jobs, yeah.
Right. Only if we got paid. Only
when it starts getting paid, so... Yeah. Follow us on Instagram and definitely send us any pointers that we or any things that you guys want to see or hear.
Call us out. Tell us we're wrong. If you send us an email and tell us we're wrong, I will verify whether or not we're wrong, and then I will make a correction. And if we're not, then I'm calling you out and telling you wrong in the next episode.
For all of our viewers.
Yes, every single one. all right, yeah. So email us at... Oh, geez. This is 40kdroppod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
That is 40kdroppod@gmail.com. And follow us on Instagram at thedroppod40k. Guys, we're working on some art for a logo here, because right now it's just white letters on a black background. If you're artsy and you want to maybe try to do something like that, maybe like a drop pod streaking across the sky, something simple. Yeah, that's definitely a Hail Mary from that request. But hey, if you're out there listening, the chance is non-zero.
Not right.
So, and you want to make something, even if it takes 20 minutes, we'll probably use it.
You can do it with crayons.
Literally. Put your kid on it. We'll use it. We can post it on Instagram, give you credit, and then you can take credit for all 38 followers seeing it.
Yeah.
So
hey. That's right, 38 more than we had when we started.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's it. We're signing out. Thanks for listening.
See ya.